Today is April 4th, 2019, and this is episode number 508. It's 508 of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief of TMO. And listen, I'm going to be honest. I'm really wanting a Philly cheesesteak with cheese whiz, you know, like, I'm just saying. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, you can shoot us a note over at macobserver.com/contextmachine, and that'll take you straight to our Facebook group. Now, I am joined this Thursday by the balded one, Mr. Caustic, negativity incarnate himself, John Keat.
Hey, from the bottom of the barrel.
From the bottom of the barrel. All right, so John, I'm going to derail us immediately.
Okay. Right? Shocking.
Just immediately I'm going to derail us because I've got a friend who is doing Microsoft's educational. What's that thing is actually called? Microsoft Education Conference. Palooza. Conference. What's it called? Education Exchange, maybe? Oh, is it? No, it's not ISTE. It's a different one. Anyway, this big thing going on over in Paris, like right now. Like tomorrow, tomorrow morning is the last, like, they're doing some kind of breakfast departure kind of thing. Oh, it's the Microsoft Education Exchange. That's what it's called. Took place in Paris. They flew all these MSIE educators out to Paris, put them up.
And had a fire festival.
Nope.
All right.
No fire festival. And they, you know, they did activities. They had, this was at least scores, maybe hundreds of people. I'm not really sure how big it was, but it wasn't small. It's not like a handful of folks. And they did, you know, they organized them. They did projects together. They gave them challenges to, and basically it was all about doing stuff for education with Microsoft technologies, their AR platform, the Surface Studio, whatever, and you know, various other products and such too. And they wined and dined them every night on Microsoft's dime. Put them up in you know, nice hotels on Microsoft's dime. I guess tonight they had a big gala. Is that how you pronounce it? Is it gala or gala? It's gala, right?
I always did gala. I wonder, it's probably a regional thing as to how you pronounce it.
It probably is. But anyway, a big shindig, a hootenanny, as it were, in somewhere there in Paris and you know, again, essentially wining and dining them all night and paying for a very expensive party and some really cool place that they were doing. So here's my point. What does Apple do? What does Apple do?
Hold on. Yeah. I've got breaking news. Yeah. I'm going to break some news here. Yeah. And it's actually quite timely. It is Apple's response to this event. In retaliation for this,
yeah,
Apple is has vowed to remove 2 or 3 more features from Apple server. They're totally going to let, they've totally thrown down the gauntlet, and they're like, we're just going to take some more features out.
So what you're saying to me, so I was going to ask, you know, like, why doesn't Apple do, like, why isn't there a worldwide educator conference where Apple brings Apple experts that they have certified and trained and supported in schools throughout the world, and they bring them together for a few days and talk to them about how to do education stuff with Apple technologies?
So let me give you a dramatic reenactment of what that would look like. All right, Charlie Brown, I got this football. I'm going to hold it right here. You guys all come down to my conference. Well, and you're going to kick this football. That's why. Because, I mean, who would take them seriously on anything?
Well, okay. Yeah, in a vacuum, starting from today, yes. But why hasn't Apple been doing this for years? Microsoft has been doing this for years. And let me tell you, it makes evangelists out of these educators. It makes them want to bring Microsoft technologies into their schools.
So let's look at what is profoundly different between those two companies. One company doesn't care at all about its computers, at all. Apparently
their education market, despite all their noise
to the
contrary.
The education market? The education market is computers. As much as Apple wants to wish it to be iPads, it's computers. And what does – and all of Apple's margin comes from phones. So Microsoft makes no phones.
Hold on. Apple makes a tidy profit on Macs too.
They do, but they just don't care. It's so small that they apparently they don't care. You got to go by their actions. I don't see any signs of caring.
I agree with that. So what you're saying is that the Microsoft has to do this because Microsoft has got to. It's the only way that Microsoft can get the business. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. I mean, they're left to enterprise tools and computers for a major source of their revenue. They really don't have too much in mobile. The Surface is kind of surprisingly an awesome tool. Again, I hate the Windows operating system and a lot of the baggage it has. But for education, you could see the value because it's a full computer and it converts into basically an iPad-like device. Yes, much worse in operating system and user interface, but nonetheless, it's two tools in one. It's a toaster fridge that is particularly attractive, I would think, to education because it's a jack of all trades, maybe not a master of any, but it gets quite a number of tasks done. So I see the attraction for that, and they just don't have a mobile play. So that is that and their software and services are what pay the bills for Microsoft. So I see why they're focused on it. You would think Apple would care, like after generations upon generations, moving to either the cloud with Google Docs and some I guess maybe will get on to Surface. At some point, nobody cares about their hardware. That's potentially the scary thing for them. But for now, they're making money hand over fist, so they don't care.
Even when they weren't making money hand over fist, they didn't do this sort of thing. They've done it with developers, right? The Worldwide Developer Conference. But they should bloody well be doing it with educators. Like Apple talks about how much they care about education, and then they don't do anything for schools.
They used to. Huge. They really had dedicated teams. Yeah, of course. And he understood basic things,
Well, I think it was also more important to him.
I think that's right. I think he had a desire to affect education and positively impact it. And I think there's so much. Again, it's bizarre to me that engineers at Apple can look at the computer and not have a sense of wonder of how much more can be done with this. How many more wonderful things you can do with this kind of core truck technology and not want to do it, to feel bored by it. It's a failure of imagination to me. It's just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Super frustrating. Super frustrating. I hear about all the things that was going on at this event, and it seems like it was an amazing time for the teachers, and it brought all these people from around the world together for them to exchange ideas, and they put so much effort into not only mixing everybody together, getting that sort of those random facilitating those random I don't know if it's actually fair to say random meetings, but facilitating different ideas being in different people and different cultures being thrown together so that they have to accomplish stuff. And then just giving them all these tools to do so.
Yeah. Giving the possibility of kismet to occur is always a great thing. It's kind of, one of the things that Steve talked about why he wanted to build the building in such a way, and Pixar was built in such a way where people kind of cross paths that might not normally cross paths and have cool ideas. Yeah, you know, think about this. Steve Jobs did something kind of beyond the iPhone, which is amazing because, like, you have this device that gives the poorest folks in the way of probably, you know, cheaper Android knockoffs at this point. People in the poorest places of the world have access to every piece of data in the world, just like the richest people in the world do. And he started something interesting with iTunes University. There's a lot of lectures up there where you can get from the greatest schools, from Stanford, from Harvard, and you could be in the poorest spot on the planet on your phone getting a lecture from the greatest teachers on Earth. Apple could, and Tim Cook had an interesting stat that I think for part of their hiring, I forget where it was, I don't think it was company-wide, but there was a large proportion, I think it was almost half, of their hires in some areas were not college graduates. And so all of a sudden, they could really make a positive impact. They could become kind of a Netflix of education where, you know, why are people paying 70 grand for the same lectures you can watch for free, right? Just because some institution at the end rubber stamps a certificate, right? That's really the difference. You could watch it and master all the same courses and never get the credit that someone at Stanford watched and be just as competent, maybe more so. And it's all about a certification at the end. There are ways that you can possibly, you know, advance education. There's so much imagination to be brought if you care. And it doesn't have to be for money. It could just be because it's so awesome. It's so powerful what you could do. But you just have to have a love for this stuff. You have to want to do things in this area. I don't see Apple having a love for anything. And frankly, I don't even see the iPhone as a love anymore. It's just like a tweak here and there just to keep the cash cow going. I don't remember the last time I saw a spark of anything brought out by Apple where you're like, you could just feel the geeky love, like the people, the folks working on it just like really wanted this because it was awesome for awesome's sake. It's just a business now. It's kind of just depressing.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I really think you and I fundamentally disagree on what's motivating Apple right now. Okay, we probably don't need to rehash that, but I think that they're focused on
the deep pipeline. Yes,
the deep pipeline and not paying attention to the stuff that's shipping now.
Yeah, all right.
Certainly not paying attention to the education market, and it's frustrating to me. It's frustrating to me in that I do believe that the education market is. I think that education is important, and I think that Apple has so much money they could make a huge impact in education, and I feel like they're choosing not to bother.
Yeah, I think all those guys are fat, dumb, and happy to increment, and they just have no hunger. And I don't mean they're bad. It's not because they're bad people. It's just like, how many times can you go through the process of all this kind of iteration and innovation before there's burnout? You need other hungry people at a certain point, and I think that's what's gone on Apple. There's just no hunger. But again, you and I fundamentally disagree. So maybe I pray you're right. I pray you're right. But we had other topics, I thought.
This wasn't one of our topics.
Right.
yeah, right. All right. So let's see where we go.
Yeah. Rabbit hole one achieved.
Yay. Unlocked. So in your... we've seen a couple of Mac Pro mock-ups surface recently, and in one of your iMessage chat groups that I participate in, I believe, let me check my notes, yeah, you weren't very happy or excited about them, and you were a bit, let's see here, yeah, you were rude about them. I wanted to make sure I had that right.
Everyone in the Apple... I forget that John Morello had an article citing to this one fellow that I really like. He kind of made up a video. He was the guy that kind of uncovered Throttlegate on the 2018 MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
And then Apple did, you know, a software update to kind of deal with it. And you can't even get all the full juice even still out of the i9 core. He put out a video. And I think he's a pretty straight shooter. I like him. I like him a lot, actually. Not that I know a lot about him, just from the Throttlegate.
You like his videos.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And but he seems to be just as much of a beaten housewife as every other kind of tech pundit here. They've kind of already resigned themselves that Apple is just so lame. They won't give us what we really want. They're going to give us these Lego stackable, Mac Minis with some kind of custom connector, and that's what we're going to deal with expandability.
All right, well, hold on.
Let me
Let me fill in some details before we get into why you think it's a terrible idea. So,
sure.
What we're talking, first of all, this stems from Apple saying that it would be modular,
right? And what does modular mean? Correct.
What does modular mean? This is people who are so hungry for information that they are willing to mock up actual products, just for the chance to make a video or to talk about it, they're bigger than a Mac Mini. They've got legs. You stack them up on one on top of the other. There's been a couple of different versions that are out there. One of them's a little bit bigger. The other one's a little bit smaller. And the idea being that, you get your module for, I don't know, eGPU. You get your base model, which is, the computer itself. Maybe you have a module for PCI slots, although I don't really know where they would fit in those particular mockups. Maybe a networking module. I don't know what things like that. And you just stack them one on top of the other. And they were basically running through these ideas of what they might look like, what we might expect, and different ways to think about it.
Yeah, it's so profoundly stupid, and only people that have been suffering in Stockholm, can be like, okay, thank you, Apple, thank you for giving me this stupid idea, because at least you updated this stupid idea. It wasn't enough that you made a mistake with one stupid idea with the trash can design. Now let's follow it up with another stupid idea by stacking multiple trash cans on top of each other. Let's start with the simple imagination of this. Let's say you got five or six of these things stacked because you have a base unit, you have some storage expandability, you have a faster internet card on it, you have some kind of magical eGPU that fits an actual PCI full-size video card into what is the size of a Mac Mini, which obviously physically can't happen. But, they built the magic TARDIS where it's bigger on the inside.
These things are a little bit bigger than the Mac Mini.
Yeah, but it's still not big enough for a full-size video card.
That is true, yes.
So again, they built the magic TARDIS into which they stuff these full-size video cards into, right? So, or maybe they're vertically stacked, so now you've got literally a leaning tower of Pisa building up 7 feet tall. All right, beyond the logistics of having a five-foot-tall tower, right, that is the size of a little bit bigger in footprint than a Mac Mini, which is an awesome design, right? How many power plugs do you have off this thing?
Depends on
how much power can draw.
Also how much power they can just do through the case through connecting.
Right. If you have full size video cards, you're going to have extra power plugs. And realistically, you're going to have a power plug for every one of these sandwich pieces. So now you have five stacks. You have five bricks behind it. That's without even a monitor. Right? It's without anything else. Just you got five bricks behind this stupid 7 foot tower of garbage. Then it gets into the whole thing. Can you have a connector fast enough to actually communicate? Oh gosh, if there was only a fast connector, like PCI 4 and 5 that have, that are out, it won't be anywhere near as fast. So now you're shoving a hippo through a straw of Thunderbolt. Even if Thunderbolt 4 comes out, it's going to be between 64 to 80 gigabits. If that's what they use, which is terrible compared to PCI, it's just stupid. It's going to make every peripheral super expensive. It's going to not give you the wide range of eGPUs that are available to this day. Like my old cheese grater Mac, I just put in a 10 gigabit card. I could throw in an SFP card in there and get 40 gigabit today. I can throw in a USB 3.1 card onto this card. It's basically a modern machine. Why? Because it uses standard PCI. It's just this is a solution for something that nobody is asking for, a problem no one is asking to solve. If they release what is effectively Mac Mini Stack Deck, the company, it makes or breaks this company for me. I will be divested.
You're not saying this will put Apple out of business.
No. There's so much cash that it'll take. It will be even for them to make consistently horrible decisions. It will take years and years and years for them to be in any financial trouble.
I just wanted to
clarify. But for me, it's make or break. If they make a reasonable Mac Pro, meaning it must have PCI slots, real PCI slots, full size PCI slots. It must have upgradable RAM. It must have upgradable storage. It must have those three things. How they, you know, put a bow on it, God bless. I don't care. But it has to have those three things. If they make a stackable Mac Mini design, they are losers, and this is probably end of days for me, for the company. I will leave one major caveat. Maybe there's some magic connector they make that's, you know, as fast as PCI, and maybe the cages they make are more interesting than we can easily imagine. And so there's always the possibility of something, you know, beyond our imagination that they come up with, which is great. I will tip my hat to them and, you know, eagerly say, thank goodness I was wrong. They knew much better, blah, blah, blah. But if they do what is been imagined by the folks that have made essentially what they've mocked up in their videos were Mac Mini stacks. It's just a catastrophe. It's just Apple saying, I don't care. I don't care what real, and you know, the moron intelligentsia of the Apple world and the tech world that covers Apple is constantly talking about, about creatives. Screw the creatives. They are a small part, the Pixar renderers and whatever. There's a group that they've forgotten about that really were part of what saved them. Yes, a good portion of the people I'm going to name here were creatives, but it really misses out. It's the enthusiasts. There are tech people and Apple people that are just enthusiasts. They don't really need a Mac Pro. They want a Mac Pro because they're enthusiasts. And that enthusiasm bubbled, and they affected many, many more people around them. They were the reason that Apple's machines were in so many movies and whatnot. Those folks weren't necessarily the ones that were cutting and editing the movies. They were just enthusiasts, and you can't forget these enthusiasts. They matter. Even if they're a very small percentage of the population, they disproportionately affect the population. They are the folks that identified with the Think Different campaign, the crazy ones. Those enthusiasts are, you know, they don't want to stack Legos. This is not what they were looking for. I really think that this enthusiast market is something that is completely ignored kind of by the tech press, and it's an important segment. And a huge portion of those folks have left. They've gone to greener pastures because they couldn't wait this long. So I don't know. I hope that everyone predicting these Mac Mini stacks as the implementation of the new Mac Pro are wrong. But you know, I'm keeping my expectations.
Okay, so let's shift this, John. Let's talk. Oh, so Apple gave us this hint, the word modular, right? And that's what people are running with. And again, I want to stress, this happens because these same enthusiasts that you're talking about are just interested. Like, you know, they want to know what the heck Apple's doing, right? That's where this is coming from.
Sure.
So my question to you is, firstly, what modules do you think the market actually wants?
They want PCI.
Kind of breakout box, right?
No, they want a single box with PCI slots, RAM, and storage.
Okay, well, that's not happening.
Why do you say that? Why are you so sure?
Because Apple told us it would be modular.
But modular could mean just that it's got internal modules that you can update, meaning RAM and PCI and storage.
So you think that when Apple said modular, they're actually talking about No. All right. So because here's the deal. Most people do not need PCI slots.
True.
And I think that Apple has demonstrated this and found this to be true again and again and again.
but enthusiasts and pros do, and doesn't matter. It's all
segmented. Yeah, I would imagine that that's probably less and less the case increasingly. But my point is that
Some people are buying those PCI cages to shove a hippo down the straw of Thunderbolt to have the external GPUs, right? Like, those people need it. They need it so bad they'll go to those stupid lengths to get it.
Okay, my point though is that most people don't need PCI slots. So
this
why
is not
a machine offer
for most people?
What?
This is not a machine for
but
most people.
But most pros don't need PCI slots, man. That's why Apple made the mistake of the trash can in the first place.
Because
most Mac Pros, and Apple has this data. Apple knows that most PCI slots went unfilled.
It's like saying most people don't need to go 200 miles per hour. I agree. And yet people still buy Ferraris and Lamborghinis and whatnot. And they never get to the 200 mile per hour, but they like knowing
That's a flawed analogy.
I disagree. It's totally
Well, of course you disagree because you're wrong.
No, well, I have the car creds to back up my claim.
Okay, so if you want to go that route, do you want Apple's Mac Pro to be at $16,000 to start?
Oh, you mean like its current iMac Pro piece of garbage that's not upgradable?
It starts at five.
Okay, and I'm sure they can make one.
Don't even get me started on the iMac Pro because it's a year. It's 2 years old almost.
Hey. You should have known in advance that you'd want 256 gigs of RAM and waited a year. You should have known that. Oh, you wanted that Vega video card? Should have waited a year.
Yeah. Don't get me started on the iMac Pro. That's not the point. The point is that most pros don't need PCI slots. Some pros do, and some specialized applications do.
And many enthusiasts.
Hence, some kind of separate module for doing that.
Yeah, it's stupid. You'll never do. You'll never get people into crypto. Enthusiasts that deal with crypto, they slap six, kind of crypto capable video cards into a single box, and they need the full bandwidth. They can't do this hippo through the straw stuff to do all this kind of.
It would be insane to spend money, Mac Pro money, specifically for crypto devices. That would be insane.
Yeah, and yet they're enthusiasts that do it on Macs.
There are some. The vast majority of GPU mining is being done on Linux and or Windows boxes.
Look, most of San Francisco is a useless cesspool of humanity.
Why are you moving the goalposts?
Just hear me out. 99% of it is useless people that think that somehow, because they're related to the 0.01% of the geniuses that create like all the wonder in the world out of Silicon Valley, that their avocado toast creation somehow rates with that, and they get to be snobby about their awful architecture and whatnot there. But it's only that point whatever that matter, and those folks make wonderful things, and they need the leg room to create those wonderful things, and you shouldn't bound them. They don't need the straw to shove a hippo through. They like the ability to do those great. So it doesn't matter how small that group of enthusiasts are. They need a machine with wide array. And actually, that is one of the things mentioned. They said what we consider pros is a very broad net.
Okay,
right?
Exactly. So the point being that you have this modular system that where the people that need that can get that module if they want it.
They can get that module via PCI and much cheaper and much more wide variety of options than will ever be made through some custom dumb package that they have to create to plug into this thing.
But you don't know that. You don't know how Apple's going to do it.
Like I said, you're right. I don't. They could create something so beyond my imagination that I will be thrilled, and I will instantly admit that
I would call the original iMac 5K with their homegrown connector. I would call that in the vein of something that's pretty magical.
Meh, I don't.
Why? No one else was doing it. Why aren't you going to give Apple credit for that?
It's nice that they did it, but it's nothing magical. It's basically kind of dual pumped connector internally on inside the case. It's kind of like today, if you want an 8K display, you're pumping in two physical Thunderbolt cards, right, to try to get the bandwidth to display 8K display. And at some point they'll make a cable with enough bandwidth that does single, but in the meantime you have this Rube Goldberg setup. They did that internally. I'm not saying it was easy or anything like that. I'm sure it's much easier said than done, but that's essentially what they did internally in that iMac. So meh.
Okay, I just want to go on the record as saying that you are a ridiculous human being sometimes.
Well, you're frustrated because I'm so right, and the reality is
I am not frustrated because you're right.
So tell me this, Mr. Genius, the wide variety, the insane variety of PCI devices that come that are out now. I'm not talking about just the video card and network cards, like the weird data acquisition cards, the weird specific crypto cards, the weird FPGA programmable cards where you can make your own custom hardware, all that variety. You think is the some Apple plastic case or whatever the heck they come up with, Mac Mini
it'll be titanium. Case,
they're going to be filled with that magic, right? Each one of those, the best in breed of every variety of PCI card, is going to manifest itself in this shiny new titanium packaging. You think that's happening? And if it isn't happening, well, then you've just cut off all that ability for
people
to do a
wide
variety of things.
Why can't you have a module with PCI cards? PCI slots.
Because, and what's it being fed through? Through a Thunderbolt 4 connector that's too slow? So why would they use this machine? They want to use a machine where the full bandwidth is available. That's why they're running away from this machine, these machines, because the full bandwidth isn't available. Having eGPUs fit through a 40 gigabit straw is stupid. For most enthusiasts that want to do stuff at the bleeding edge, they never came. You know, Apple was always pretty good at being right there on the bleeding edge with a lot of their tech, and that's just not the case for the enthusiast and pro market.
No, I am with you. I am with you there. I believe that Apple is vastly underserving the professional market right now. You won't get any argument from me on that, and I think we are mostly in sync on the shortcomings of the iMac Pro.
And I can envision a version where you could put in, say, two full slot PCI cards into the footprint of a Mac Mini, right?
But we don't know that they're going to do the Mac Mini. That's just enthusiast mock-ups.
All right. Well, what do you think it'll be? I'm praying it's some kind of, you know, version of a cheese grater. I don't care what the shape is, but it's going to have three or four PCI slots. It's going to have upgradable RAM and some kind of mechanism for upgradable storage.
How is that modular? It's not modular.
All the internal memory modules, all the internal storage modules.
So like you're going to buy these
video modules.
You're going to buy these black boxes from Apple for $1 million and plug them into the, you know, module A and module B and module C?
No, your view of modular, it means that they have to be external modules that snap together like Legos. My view is that RAM modules inside of a case are modules. Drives are modules, storage modules. Video cards are video
but Apple
modules.
Has never, that's not, no one has ever called that modular. Okay. No one has ever called it that. Why would Apple do the thing that they used to do with the cheese grater, but now call it modular?
Well, by your token, the trash can was modular because you just attached external modules to it.
Except it wasn't designed, but it wasn't designed to be modular.
It was modular.
The modularity was enforced because of the limitations of the original form factor.
But it was module. So that you're saying they've learned nothing. They're going to make a box now where even more octopus spaghetti is modular off the main thing. I don't see it. I mean, if they do make that, to me, it just shows they don't care, they don't listen, and it's a failure. You may be right. I think what you're going by and what most of the tech press is going by is not an unfair interpretation to say that modular must mean something different than what we would call it, expandable, right, is what our more traditional word was for a tower case, right? That it was expandable. And so that must mean that it's something different. Potentially, Or it could just mean that they use a different word for the same thing, and that what they meant was it's going to be an expandable machine.
That's a really weird outlook to me.
Okay, well, that's my prayer, because if it comes out to be a stack of Mac Minis, I'm out. I'm out. I'm telling you, I'm out.
It will not be a stack of Mac Minis. Here's another reason why I think Apple will do external modules, and that's finally embracing eGPUs.
Yeah,
an eGPU is to me an example of a modular unit.
Of shoving a hippo through a straw. That's what an eGPU is. It's a failure of a design. it's putting something that has gigabits of, hundreds of gigabits of bandwidth and shoving it through a 40 gigabit pipe. It's terrible. Terrible. You know, it's true. You can laugh all you want, but it's true. Not to mention it gives you an extra power brick, extra snake pit of cables. Extra fans. So thanks for the non-quiet, because all that cooling is now happening in each stupid box that's added to this thing. So it's a nightmare. It's a freaking nightmare.
What I think, John, is that there better be a reason this thing is taking so long, and solving a lot of these problems that you're mentioning, I'm hoping is part of that process, is part of why it's taking so long.
All right. Like I said, right?
I mean, I know I'm inherently a nice person. And
you want as well, especially relative to the company you're keeping at the moment.
And I'm inherently, optimistic. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, again, relative to the company you're keeping at the moment. I agree. And it's one, why I enjoy your company, because I'm such a negative
Nelly
type. Yeah. Thank you. And I genuinely pray to be wrong. My number one prayer is that they give us something that is more, like I said, all it needs is 4 PCI slots. It needs upgradable RAM and upgradable storage. And then, I don't care if it's a tower or a pizza box or whatever form factor they want, but is more traditional.
So say that there are two main hurdles to overcome in making a modular system, and that would be power conductivity, so that you don't have a jillion power cables, and also data throughput.
Yes, and then there's physics, right? So there's three. So I agree with your first two, power and bandwidth, in having an interconnect. But the third is the variety of peripherals. If you don't have something that is the equivalent of a PCI cage, right, where you can put in any PCI under the sun slot, because there's no doubt that you can't make enough pretty, packaged boxes with the variety of PCI stuff that's out there. So you have to give folks the variety of that richness that's out there in the market. So if you do that, what is a form factor that isn't stupid? Because if you do video cards, right, the only way they work kind of is in a vertical stack, if it's the size of a Mac Mini, in which case just one video card vertically is probably about almost 2 feet, right, of encasing that you're going to do, which is already a ludicrous system. So now if you're putting it not vertically stacked, and if you're putting it in some horizontal thing, well, you got a pretty wide box already. So, you know what I mean? The physics of keeping that extra item, which is the variety and richness of already existing peripherals, right? Of memory types and PCI types. I'll give you a good example. If you're doing a lot of database work, whatever is the standard IO is probably not going to be okay. Like even if they get, even if they standardize on NVMe kind of M slots, they conk out at about 3,500 megabytes per second read writes, which is fast by our, laptop standards, but some people need really a lot. There are very cheap PCI cards out there that do 12,500 megabytes per second writes per, and you could stack two of those cards and get 25,000 megabytes per second read writes. So if you're doing crazy database stuff, if you're whatever wacky stuff you're doing, and you need super fast read writes like that, you just need that kind of PCI card. It's a super not a big deal if you've got a PC that has regular slots. no one's going to make, you know what I mean? Like, there's just this variety. There's this world out there that Apple people are not seeing. The Apple people are not seeing optical cable connects, right? They're super cheap to get on a PC. You can have 40 gigabit Ethernet today over kilometers of optical cable. Nobody has this on their Mac, right? Because it's a cheap PCI card, but you know, the PCI card Macs are now ancient. They're 9 years old. So there's
the
just
newest
this,
ones are 9 years
old. Yeah. Yeah. So the variety that you give up. So I think that's the third factor, that you still have to have some interconnect with it, with the existing variety of things that still works in a good form factor. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe there is some Lego type thing that you can accomplish that. I can't easily imagine it, but that's why, you know, I'm not a designer at Apple, and the folks at designer that are awesome designers at Apple maybe can do that. Maybe they can solve the interconnect. Maybe they can solve the power interconnect, and maybe they can solve some kind of, you know, variable PCI cage connector as well. And then, you know what? Then awesome. I think everyone will be thrilled by that.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. And essentially, I'm hoping for that unicorn there.
Yeah, my prayers are much more modest than yours. Just give me another cheese grater-ish Mac and we'll be thrilled.
Okay. I get that. But Apple told us it would be modular. I don't get... Okay, all right.
Your interpretation of modular may end up being the right one, but I don't think it's the only one.
We don't need
that. I don't think it's the only interpretation.
Okay, fine. Whatever. So, yeah. Oh, by the way, guess what?
I don't know.
I am going to get the new regular 5K iMac.
Oh, congrats. It's a really nice machine, by the way. I think someone did some tests, and it's basically faster than the entry model of the iMac Pro. Oh, and it has the added feature that you can upgrade its RAM.
Yep,
so yeah,
exactly.
So
that's why it's because I can upgrade the RAM. I haven't ordered it yet.
You're on bleeding edge of storage technology there. Did you opt for the 1 terabyte spinner or the 3 terabyte spinner? Because that's not an embarrassment. That's not a sign that a company says, I don't give a blankety blank about this Mac, that I won't even upgrade it with a modern hard drive. Somewhere there's a vault of Apple, the seller of fine vintage computers. They have this ancient stack of 1, 2, and 3 terabyte drives that they're just like,
you know, of course, that Apple does a just-in-time thing. So they are choosing to get new 3 terabyte drives.
Insane. They're choosing that. Which, by the way, the most unreliable drive of all time is the 3 terabyte drive. So good to know that the largest size they offer is the most unreliable.
I will
ever.
Be getting awesome. A 1 terabyte SSD.
Yeah, you know, so
I know that you have vast storage needs. I am eking by on 512 on my current iMac 5K because when I ordered it, if you remember, I thought no big deal, I'll just replace it later when they're cheaper, when SSDs are cheaper. And then I eventually, when I was actually finally ready to replace it, I start doing my research and I realized you got to crack the dang thing open.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, man, are you kidding me?
So look, you know what? I'll give you two other possibilities of what to do. If I were doing this, I'm a little, I guess, more MacGyver in being willing to open up the case there. If you get the spinner with the Fusion Drive, the advantage of it is you get 2 internal connectors inside the iMac, which you will not get if you get just the SSD versions. You will get a standard SATA connector inside. So you could pop whatever that ancient drive out and in theory, you know, plop in a 14 terabyte drive, and you will get the SSD connector, which I think now is not no longer a SATA. It's a faster connector in there that they use for partly the Fusion thing. So you get those two. But the other thing I was wondering if what might make sense. So one, doing that gives you at least a theoretical potential of doing that if you need to in the future, and then you use the Thunderbolt 3 cable to just dangle a fast Thunderbolt external drive, put it on the little shelf behind the iMac, and use that as your boot drive. And then you could buy one of those relatively cheap. You can buy a 2 terabyte SSD and NVMe external for less than it's going to cost you probably for the upgrade price.
Yeah, you know, you'd suggest that I do that with my late 2015 iMac 5K. Right. And I never did because it's only got Thunderbolt 1.
Right. And things have changed since then. And now you can get full NVMe speed external drives for not for basically the cost of the case and plus the going rate for the stick, and get the full 3,500 megabyte per second throughput, because now you've got a Thunderbolt 3 port, right? So you get so you're not even going to saturate that Thunderbolt 3 port. And it's a tiny drive. It's bus powered. So you can just boot off of it. And then for at least for now, you can use the Fusion drive just as a Time Machine backup on it. And then at some point you still have the option of gutting that if you need to. So that's what I would probably do but I totally respect that. You know what? I don't want to deal with it. I never want to crack this case up, and I'm just going to get the standard SSD and move on, which is perfectly reasonable. Anyway, congratulations. I think that's a great machine.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited about it.
Are you getting the Vega card?
I'll end up getting the better video card. And I will be getting a memory upgrade kit probably from Otherworld Computing.
Right. And you're getting the i9?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. And it's like, you know, I've been wanting a new iMac for a while. I wouldn't have bought...
It's a super solid upgrade.
Yep. Yeah, I wouldn't have bought it before this update, because the previous iMac was almost 2 years old. And I can't stomach buying the iMac Pro, even if I wanted to spend the money, because it also is 2 years old. Yeah. So this model coming along when it is, especially when you can actually change out the RAM, you know, shock of shocks. So I'm curious. So OWC is actually selling a 128 gig RAM kit for this device, whereas Apple will ship it with a maximum of 64. And here's the thing. It's $1,099.99, so $1,100 for OWC's 128 gig kit. And if you buy the 64 gig upgrade from Apple, it's $1,000.
And I bet you at some point they'll be able to stuff 256 in there as well.
Yeah, possibly. I would be happy. I've got 24 now and constantly run into page outs and page ins.
I have 128 and my memory kind of flatline, unless I'm doing something weird, usually around 36, it seems to be.
So I would actually be happy at 64, but I'm not looking at this 128 now and thinking, so OWC is charging $450 for a 64 gig kit,
so
as opposed to less than half of Apple's upgrade charge. But yeah. Anyway, so that's my plan.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm very enthused for you. It's a super solid upgrade. So
now I'm cheating. I'm going to be able to get it through the Apple employee program. I've got a friend.
Nice.
Who will let me use their 15% off.
Yeah, even better.
So yeah, it does make it easier for sure.
Nice.
For sure. So all right. So that's topic one. We are 48 minutes into the show.
Well, so maybe it's only a two-topic day then.
Golly. You know, I'm kind of...
Let's run with it. Let's see how fast it goes.
Yeah, I think I'd rather err towards you telling us about cables, because you've been doing a lot of research on this, and I think it would be really useful for people.
So this is probably a relatively short topic, but yeah, I think we talked about it on one of the last shows, but I did get some fiber cable to wire the house with. You can get 100 gigabit fiber, 12 strand fiber is what you're looking for to get the 100 gigabit, because each of the 10 strands will give you basically 10 gigabit each per fiber strand. And then the extra two are, I'm guessing, for some kind of error correction or whatever goes on them. So, and it was interesting. I bought four drops that I wanted the fiber in. And I also got Cat 8 cable. Cat 8 cable is currently available. It's relatively dirt cheap. It does 40 gigabit, right? So I'm wired the house with Cat 8, just as the my common transport. And I'm like, while my walls are open, I'm going to throw in this fiber, because why not? For $450, I was able to get this fiber. So it's a bit more pricey considering all I got was four cables. So it's a little bit over $100 a cable. And these are, one is 65 feet and three are 65 feet.
You're so outside the norm here. No one's going to do this. Well, I thought you were going to talk to us about like USB-C and Thunderbolt cables.
Sure. All right. But my point is to encourage people that are thinking about, like, if you're doing a project and you're like, don't just put in Cat 6. Cat 8 is out, right? Why wouldn't you take the 40 gigabit thing? It costs almost the same. And if you've gone through the expense of opening your walls already because you're doing some kind of project, maybe dropping the fiber isn't a bad idea, right? Because it's relatively cheap to get the cables in there. The routers and all the other interconnects are more expensive. But if you've got open walls, you might consider it. Just my point is that a lot of Mac users are not considering fiber because it's not in our kind of consciousness, because no machines have been upgraded to, you know, even contemplate it. But it's pretty awesome what's out there with regard to fiber cabling. But USB, what a nightmare. So Thunderbolt and USB, I'm going to drop, because of my weird desk arrangement, I'm going to put a printer and a scanner kind of in two different spots. So I'm going to put cables into the floor, underneath the floor, and out the wall, so I could have a spot where I have a scanner and where I have a printer. And it's always cool to have a USB or a direct Ethernet connection. So the Ethernet is easy. I get just the Cat 8. It's up to 40 gigabit. That's future proof for quite a while if you're putting under the floor. But I thought, oh, okay, so I'll just get the latest USB C connector for these devices, right? You could always put a dongle on the end to make sure it fits in any whatever printer or scanner you have. But I might as well get the newest one. And I figure, oh, well, the newest one is USB-C 3.1 Gen 2, which does, which has the USB, the thin USB-C connector, but does 10 gigabit. And USB-C 3.1 Gen 1 looks identical. It's got the USB-C connector, but it only has 5 gigabit, just like USB 3.0, which is the old Type-A connector, kind of that block connector that we've been using for forever and that's available everywhere. But it does 5 gigabit speed. So I'm thinking, all right, I'll just get this USB-C stuff and get it. You know, I need about 15 feet of cable to make sure that it reaches through the wall or through the floor and to whatever computer I have. Yeah, doesn't exist. You can't get a USB-C cable, a USB-C 3.1 type Gen 2 cable that long. They max out at 6 feet. And the USB-C 3.1 Gen 1, which is only 5 gigabit, in theory, maxes out at 15 feet, but there really isn't anyone selling it, because what's the point? You might as well get the 3.0 cable. It's the exact same speed, and they just put a USB-C adapter on the ends, right? And that you get a wider variety of, so I guess that's the reason why not many people sell it. So the only cable that you can get that's around 15 feet, which isn't really long, is USB-C 3.0. And if you want longer than that, you have to go back to USB-C 2 tech, where you can get like 50 feet or crazy lengths like that. But it gets even worse, because at one point I downgraded my expectations. I'm like, all right, I thought I could get Thunderbolt, because the Thunderbolt, there is a Jesus cable. Apple sells what I call the Jesus cable, and it does
Are you complimenting Apple?
No. It's just the one cable to rule them all, so to speak. Maybe I should call it that.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Before we do the Jesus cable, this is a great, sure, this is a great segue, because I do need to take a moment out and talk about our sponsor, Molecule.
Okay. Oh, I like Molecule.
Me too, John. In fact, I have two of these things in my home. I've got two of these Molecule air filters in my home, and I love these things. They use what is called, and I'm reading here, photoelectrochemical oxidation, or PECO, nanotechnology. And what that can do is eliminate allergens, mold, bacteria, viruses, and airborne chemicals. And it is better than HEPA filters, which, by the way, haven't been updated in like 70 years or something like that, which is kind of crazy. And I love my molecules. Like I said, I've got two of them. They're quiet. They're good. My air is clean. I got them when I was very concerned about all the forest fires that were happening in California. And I was very thankful I had them with the last big fire, because air quality in the Silicon Valley just went straight to hell. It was terrible, except for in my home, where it was fantastic. And I was so glad that I had these things ahead of time and was ready to go when those fires hit. And if you're concerned about air quality, if you're concerned about allergens, if you're concerned about pollutants, you should really check out Molecule. And in fact, because they're sponsoring us, you can get $75 off your first order. And all you have to do is go to molecule.com. That's molekule.com. That's Molecule with a K. And at checkout, enter code ACM. That's for the show, the Apple Context Machine. ACM. And you're going to get $75 off your first order. I do love these things. I am proud to have them sponsor our show. I happily endorse the product. I like it, and I think that you should check it out too. Very much go to molekule.com. Again, that's molekule.com. And at checkout, enter code ACM. You're going to save $75 off your first order. And one more time, molekule.com, molekule.com. Enter checkout code ACM. Save $75 off that first order. Great. Okay, so I believe we were talking about the Jesus cable.
So, yes, the Jesus cable. There is a lot of confusion about USB-C and Thunderbolt cables, since they have a common connector type and what they can do. Some cables can charge devices, but at different wattage. Some max out at 30 watts. Some max out at 65 watts. There are some that max out at 100 watts. But usually the cables that can charge your laptop with 100 watts, their transfer rate is only USB 2 speeds. And then some, if they're Thunderbolt, can carry video, but some can't. And some can carry video, but only to one 4K display, and some can carry it to two 4K displays, depending upon the bandwidth, whether it's a 20 gigabit cable or a 40 gigabit cable. So it's so confusing. What my desire is, look, I don't want to be confused. I want to get one cable that can do all of the things so that whenever I use it for anything, it will work for any of the things, right? That would be, for someone that's a simpleton like myself, would be a useful thing.
Does that exist?
Yes.
And that's the Jesus cable.
That's what I call the Jesus cable.
Okay.
And the Jesus cable is, so unfortunately there's two versions of the Jesus cable. It's gotta be 3 foot or 1.5 foot is the true Jesus cable. So the three foot cable can do,
Which cable is this?
You know, I'll give you links to them if you want to put them in the show notes.
I do want to put them in the show notes.
Yeah, there's the Apple Jesus cable, and then there's an active and passive version of the Jesus cable, and they two different things. If
can
you
we,
have an
can
active,
we get the name? Like, do we know the name? Can we look this up?
I don't remember. I'll give them. I'll give.
Are
the,
you
I'll give
not
you the
in
links.
Front of a like? Are you not in front? In front of a computer.
All right. Yeah, I'm so well prepared for this.
Well, this is ACM. We don't do prepared. So I'm fine with that. But let's figure it out and tell people so that they know whether or not they want to go to the show notes.
Right. So the Apple cable, I think the Apple cable is just called they creatively call it the USB-C. the Thunderbolt 3
cable.
Power
and cables. I'm looking at the Mac section. Got USB-C charge cable, USB charge cable 2 meters, USB-C to lightning. I'm assuming that's not it. Power extension. Not really seeing anything that's like what you're describing.
I will tell you in a second.
Thunderbolt 3 USB-C?
Thunderbolt 3. It's 0.8 meters, $39.
Okay, so Thunderbolt 3 USB-C cable.
Right. And okay. And the important stuff on it that you will see, and I believe this is an active cable, even though they don't list it as an active cable, but it shows you many of the things that you want to see. 40 gigabit, USB 3.1 Gen 2 data transfer, up to 10 gigabits, right? That's super important. Power of 100 watt charging, display port video output HBR3, meaning it can do, it basically can do two. So that is the Jesus cable. Like, this does it all, right? You're paying $40 for this. So I assume this is probably a passive device, because there's also something known as an active Thunderbolt 3 cable. And if it's active, it can do 40 gigabit, but it can't do USB transfers at all. And then, so Apple is actually a little bit better, right? This is not a full meter. It's 0.8 meters. A lot of them are half a meter passive, and they will. So a passive cable can do both Thunderbolt 40 gigabit and USB 10 gigabit transfers. An active cable can be half a meter, one meter, and 2 meter, but you will forego the USB-C ability. If you get a passive cable that's more than half a meter, or in case of Apple, more than 0.8 meters, once it goes a meter or more, your Thunderbolt speed goes down to 20 gigabits.
Hmm.
So the easy thing is, buy the Apple Jesus cable. It's the longest cable that does all of the things.
But it's only 3 feet.
It's only, well, it's 0.8 meters, so it's not even 3 feet.
Not even 3 feet, yeah.
Right. So that's the best you can do. If you want one cable to rule them all, that is the bestest cable you can get. And then amongst the, shall we say, almost Jesus cables, right? If you want something 6 feet long, all right, you can have that. But you're either going to give up USB-C transfers altogether, because it's an active cable, or if it's a passive cable, you will then go down to 20 gigabits on your Thunderbolt 3, meaning you can only drive really one monitor probably through it. Yeah, that's as straightforward as anything. Anyway, the bottom line is, all the super high-speed USB-C Thunderbolt cables are ultra short and stinky if you want them to do all the things. And that's just a limitation of the technology. No one's making anything better.
So do you think Apple, like, was this an accident? Apple did it right?
Well, it's to be fair to Apple, this was the USB, the Thunderbolt USB-C consortium, which they are a part, and I'm sure they had a lot of say, but it wasn't their cable, right? It wasn't their creation. But it makes me wonder, because Cat 8 does 40 gigabits, right? It's just, and it's cheap. It's dirt cheap. And there is power over Ethernet, and I think it does at least 25 watt. And I saw that there's the potential to do up to 100 watt. I haven't actually investigated, but I just don't get, like, this seemed, the Thunderbolt, and I guess it's the video stuff that the video transport that it does, that maybe what makes this cable, like, just so overwhelmed with stuff at that point, mm-hmm. that there's some limitation to it, but I don't get it, because again, Cat 8 has basically the same bandwidth and can do the power stuff. So I'm not sure why there are so many more limitations on the USB side. But the bottom line is, if you need some actual length and a high speed cable, your only choice is USB 3.0, and that maxes out at 15 feet. And then your next best length is 6 foot. But at 6 foot, you're giving up. You're not getting the full USB 3.1 Gen 2 speed, and/or you're not getting the full Thunderbolt speed, and that's only 6 feet. And if you really want the full Monty, whatever, you're really down to either 0.5 meter cables from some third parties, or the Apple 0.8 meter, the absolute longest in the field. By 0.3 meters, which is significant, I guess, if you're trying to stretch this as far as possible. It's your only option, which was just, I was shocked that it was so limited. I don't know. I would think, since USB 3.0 is old at this point, right? It's been out for years. And you would have thought that when they came out with the Gen 2, like, we would have gotten more length and speed. I don't know. It's not fully intuitive, like, why it's so limited. But I was surprised on that front. So anyway, for my solution, since I needed at least 15 feet, I got a couple of USB 3.0 15-foot cables, and I'll put adapters on the end, and hopefully that will future-proof it. I mean, frankly, for a scanner and a printer, that's more than enough bandwidth. But
sure.
But on the other hand, I could put... Here's the crazy thing. I can plug in future scanners and printers with Cat 8, and they will easily do 10 gigabit over hundreds of feet, which is why I'm also dropping a Cat 8 cable next to this.
Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are. All right. So we are at... We are at an hour and 3 minutes, and I feel like if we dip into our next topic, this will be a 2-hour show.
What was our next topic?
I don't know if I want to. Yeah, it was the thing with the thing, and then like what Apple's going to do with the thing.
Well, since we forgot what it was,
well, no, I didn't forget. I've got a list. I've got a note right here.
All right,
but I don't want to say, because then people will be like, you know, dudes. So, like, you know, maybe we tease it. All right, no, okay, fine. It's the state of the chip industry.
Ah.
With that, you know, with Intel's new 56-core.
I think we could do this in less than 7 minutes.
All right.
Alex. I can name that tune in less than 7 minutes.
That is not going to happen. All right, so fine. All right, here's the deal. Intel has announced this 56-core thing. What does it draw? 400 watts.
400 watts.
400 watts. AMD is doing Threadripper.
Correct.
We were talking about it, and you mentioned the 400 watts thing, and I said this is why Apple is going to move the Mac to its own ARM processors.
So you may be right with that. I'll be so impressed. I got to tell you, because what made logical sense to me is if Apple's going to release its own processors, it should be for the MacBook, because
it still could be.
Yeah, it could be. But if you call it right and they end up having their own custom processor for the Mac Pro, I will be so impressed. I will give you so many kudos, as you well deserve. But so not only is this 56 core is really two chips shoved in one die, and they have like some kind of weird cross connect on it. But sadly, it's a 14 nanometer chip, which means it's worse than the Threadripper by AMD, which was a 12 nanometer thing done almost a year ago now. And it's 400. I mean, this is, if you live in Alaska, you've got a toaster fridge, so to speak, because all you need is this machine and it's going to heat your house. It's insane. And their lowest end, their 32 core chip that Intel is talking about is 250 core. And the reason they released this 56 core monstrosity is because they know that AMD is about to release a 7 nanometer 64 core. Chip.
7 nanometer 64 cores.
AMD is spanking Intel. Like it's embarrassing how they're spanking, because it's going to probably be only 250 watts. Threadripper is 250 watts, but that was their top of the line chip, so it makes sense. The crazy power draw that Intel is doing on these chips just makes them just stupid.
Stupid. And that's been the problem that Apple has had for years. Like, going back to Steve's day. Is complaining about the power draw, about Intel's refusal to basically focus on power draw, and that was why Apple got into the ARM business for itself for its iPhones too.
Yeah, and they've just got such a wonderful, brilliant team that's done. I mean, they've progressed there at kind of spooky levels, and if they can make a desktop chip that is anywhere near AMD and Intel's top level, I will be shocked. But you know what? If any team can do it, it's that team. They're just spooky good.
Two things though. Two things. First of all, can that be done with ARM at all? That's one of the sort of flies in my ointment as I talk about this and speculate that Apple might be wanting to do the Mac Pro with its own processors. But can the ARM architecture even handle, if you throw enough cores at it, can it handle desktop duties?
So I think the answer is yes, because the current A12 is basically as fast or faster than a good portion of the current Mac Pro lineup, right? So the question is, you know, how do they solve the problem? Like, any one core, at least of the current Xeon, is probably pumping out a lot more than any one core of the A12. But who knows? They could have been tuning this for desktop use, and maybe they get an even more efficient chip out of there. And they have the ability to do 7-nanometer builds, which apparently Intel is just hopelessly behind on, right? I mean, AMD has got is ahead of these folks, not to mention all the mobile providers doing better. So it's all within the realm of possibility. But like the current chip, it does 6 cores. I forget if the A12X does any more cores. Is it? I think it's still 6 cores, right? They didn't. It's 8 cores. I'm wrong.
Eight cores, I thought.
So it's 8 cores in that. So it's kind of crazy. Just think about it. The iPad has a super low power 8 core chip. It's right. Kind of impressive.
It's extremely impressive. 64-bit at that.
Now all of a sudden you can pump in a lot more juice to these things, and they could easily go to a 20-core thing, I would think. They haven't been trying, right? They've been optimizing this for a mobile device, and they got it to 8 cores. What happens when they actually try to optimize for a desktop multi-core setup? I would imagine they could do quite a bit more. So maybe the single thread performance is not going to match kind of the AMD Threadripper and Xeon level, but maybe they can make it up in the multi-core side, which might be good enough to your. So you may just be incredibly prophetic on this, but Intel is woefully behind. You can tell this 56 core, you know, Franken monster, 14 nanometer monstrosity of heat, poor heat usage, is just a very meek attempt to try to get a little bit of fanfare to try to take away what AMD has been doing. So to me, in this case, I pray that if this Mac Pro is still kind of not Intel based, but shall we say 8088 based kind of architecture,
X86.
That they would choose the AMD chipsets because they're clearly better. And it sounds like they have a good chance of being at 7-nanometer. So, I mean, they could do crazy things with that 64-core at 7-nanometer with a much lower power draw. And even the 32-core Threadripper, realistically, is a better solution, even though it's older than what Intel is proposing here, not to mention in the PCI lanes that AMD managed to do. They have more PCI lanes, which is super good for just kind of throughput of a system. Intel just stinks. They've just been. I don't know what's going on at Intel. Why they've been so slow and lethargic and bad at kind of this race. I mean, they are the gold standard for so long, but they've gotten spanked by AMD. So
they got spanked by Apple in the mobile space. Because remember, totally. Intel was trying to play in the mobile space.
So despite how impressive 56 core sounds, and I don't mean to demean it, it's still, you know, a wonderful accomplishment, but it just seems to be a substandard solution to what AMD is doing. And if Apple gets in this race, they could do some serious harm.
It's so weird. You're complaining about something and not saying that everyone involved should die. Or, you know, should have horrible things happen to them. I mean, like, are you feeling all right? Because, you know.
I just feel all that's implicit.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
But if I had my choice of preference, my number one choice for this machine would be that Apple comes out with an AMD chip. My second choice, believe it or not, would be that Apple come out with their own chip. And my third choice would be if they came out with the Intel chip, because that's just the state of things right now.
Yeah, but
unfortunately,
enough.
I think if they do, I think they're going to come out with an Intel-based chip.
Did you catch the news of this guy leaving the chip team? Guy that's been leading the team since the A6?
Yeah, I don't know what to mean for that. Like, it may just be normal turnover and stuff. And didn't Google poach someone from that team like a year or so ago as well?
Can't remember. I don't remember that.
Because
we
don't know where this guy's going.
Right. We don't know where this guy's going. Yeah. Right. Right. So what we said on TDO when we talked about this earlier in the week was that it's not likely that Apple has had so much success with its line of AX processors that it's probably not dependent upon one person.
Yeah, I can't imagine that that's a one person thing, but I guess crazier things have happened. I don't know enough about the team other than whatever they've been doing is awesome.
Yeah.
So you're always worried when anything there. But I mean, have they had high turnover? I mean, one person in seven years is pretty awesome.
Well, they lost the founders of one of the companies they acquired in the space. The second there, you have to work for us for X amount of time.
Right.
Clause was up. And that was several years ago, after which Apple, you know, took off to new highs with its processors.
Right. So I don't think they've just had the good news is maybe we don't know about it, but I really haven't heard about a lot. This may be one of the lowest turnover parts of Apple. So, you know, it's always interesting when someone leaves, but it doesn't seem to be a sign of an exodus. So to me, that means it's probably a stable ship, knock wood.
Yeah, that's probably true. We haven't heard about other departures since this guy announced also. Yeah. And he's been doing the same thing now for, I don't know, 7-8 years.
Yeah,
I think. Thereabouts.
Yeah, a long time in this business.
It's a long time, yeah. All right. I guess you're right. Well, it was a little more than 7 minutes, but not bad.
Close enough.
Not bad. I'd like to thank Molekule for sponsoring us. Remember, you can head over to Molekule. That's MOLEKULE.com. And when you do, you enter the checkout coupon code of ACM. It's going to get you $75 off of your first order. We appreciate them. I appreciate them at the very least sponsoring. And with that, John, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, man. It's always fun.
Yeah, likewise. Always, always fun. So I'm going to hit this. And then I'm going to say that's all for this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write me at acm@macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly, the basis by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week. Once again, John, thank you very much for joining me.
Okay, thank you, Brian. It was good to be here.
That's how we do things here, John.
You wanted two thank yous.
I
Come
did.
On.
I did, man. I was fishing.